It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Verse 17.
And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them.
Now listen to this scripture. He says, when he came to a certain place and he's teaching the word of God, what kind of people came? Pharisees, doctors, lawyers, and they came to hear him. And he says, every town of Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem. Can you imagine how many people came? And not ordinary people, the lawyers, the Pharisees, the doctors, and from Galilee to Judea to Jerusalem. And they sat with him to listen. So imagine in your mind, it's not a small 10 by 10 room. It is a large facility. It's not shown here, but from reading this, you have to think in your mind, it's a big hall or big building or some rich person's house. That's what it is. And the word of God says, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But nobody was asking prayer for healing. Their mind was there to ask him questions. There are some people, rich people have diseases, but they will not go to church to get prayed for. Where they go? To the doctor. They can spend thousands and thousands of dollars. Even though there is no cure, they will go to doctor, but they will not go to the church and humble themselves to ask prayer. So here the word of God says, the God's power was present there to heal them. And nobody's asking Jesus to heal. Then see what happens. Verse 18.
And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him.
All these people are sitting. Nobody's asking healing, but there is one person looking for healing. And they brought him, and they looked everywhere, door, nobody can go through the door. Window, nobody can go through the window. Everywhere they try to go, front door, back door, every door. Hundreds of people are watching and listening to Jesus Christ. Now, these people didn't say, well, we don't have place to take this man in. Let's go home and bring him some other day, or some another day Jesus Christ might be walking out, or we'll be standing on the street somewhere. When he walks, we will request him. What these people did? They said, okay, there is no room. We are going to do something. They went to the housetop. I don't know how tall the house was, but somebody got the idea, and they have to be united in this idea. If somebody would have said, let's take him to the housetop, and let's cut the ceiling or take the tiles off, and then we'll throw him inside. And somebody would have said, this man will be dead. Or this man said, don't take me there. Everybody has to agree. Once you come to the unity, God hears your prayer. The word of God says two people agree, and touching anything, he will hear your prayer. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. So the word of God says you have to agree in prayer. Now this, I don't know how many people, but just think that four people. And the sick man is five. Because they brought him in a couch, so like a dead body they're taking. So two people has to put in a back and two people on the front. And now there are four people and fifth one is lying on the bed. So they have to pull him up. And here he said they took the tiles out. And now they have to drop him in front of Jesus Christ. So each and every person has to agree and believe what they're doing. If you are not united, you will not be able to bring that man up. We are going to do this. Don't make a noise. Don't make a fuss. You're going to be healed, and we are going to do the job. And so just believe. They believe. Let's read verse 19.
And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee.
Now see what Jesus Christ says when he says, when he saw their faith. Can you see faith? You cannot see faith. But what he saw, the action. Action they did it by faith. So when somebody prays for you and you say, I have faith, then what do? Do something. If you cannot walk and somebody prayed for you, start walking. That is called faith. Faith in action. So when these people had a faith, we'll drop this man just in front of Jesus. And then exactly in front of him, they drop him. And so Jesus Christ is saying, I saw your faith. And then he says to the man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now, why he said your sins are forgiven? When I was thinking, this was not a child. He says a man. Sometimes Jesus will say son, but here he says a man. So this man, I don't know when he got paralyzed, but he was a sinner. Even though he is paralyzed, now he cannot commit sin. But when you committed sin before, and that might be the reason you got sickness or disease, you better confess your sins. When you go to somebody to pray for somebody, and you just lay hand and walk away, the man is not going to get healed. You have to tell that person, would you like to be healed? Yes. Jesus Christ is going to heal you. But ask God to forgive all your sins. People are not saying this because they're afraid. They're afraid to tell somebody, oh, I'm a sinner. No, you have to tell that person. Ask God to forgive your sins, and then God can heal you. I always do that. If Jesus heals you, what are you going to do? If you are smoking and drinking, are you going to go back to that same thing? The person says, I'm tired of living this kind of life. I want to change. I want to be healed. And I'm going to go to church, I'm going to pray, I'm going to read the Bible. I was not giving anything to God, but I will give it to the Lord and I will completely transform. Just pray for me. That person will get healed immediately because he has a desire to follow the Lord. So Jesus Christ says, your sins are forgiven. And the people didn't like it. Read verse 21, Luke 5:21.
And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?
Pharisees, the lawyers, the doctors, and the highly educated people were sitting there. And when Jesus Christ says, Your sins are forgiven you, they got offended. Who is this guy? He has the power to forgive sins. Only God forgives sins. Then they should have a message. He has to be God. He healed that man. He has to be God. But they start blaming him and they said, you are blasphemers. Means you are saying something which you should not be saying. See what Jesus answered. Verse 22.
But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts?
Now see, these people didn't say a word. All people start thinking the same thing, but they didn't have the courage to ask him. He was just thinking in their mind. But Jesus read their mind. He understood what they were saying. From that they could say, hey, he knows you in my heart. He knows you in my thought. He might be God. And so he was just thinking what they were thinking in their mind. Let's read verse 23.
Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk?
Now he put the questions. to all these doctors and lawyers. Now you tell me. I said to this man, your sins are forgiven, and you people got offended. Now up to now, this man is still lying on the bed. This man is not healed yet. And they are arguing about simple thing. So Jesus said, now let me ask you a question. Is it easy to say your sins are forgiven? Or is it easy to tell this man, get up and walk? Now they could not say anything. If Jesus would have said, now say this man, get up and walk. But they kept quiet. Verse 24.
But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house.
Jesus said, let me tell you something. Why I say to this man, your sins are forgiven? Because he said, I want you to know, or the Son of Man means you and me, has power on this earth to forgive sins. Somebody says, how come? I'll give an example. Just think that somebody is walking ahead of you and you kick that person. That means you did something wrong. That person looked back to you. What are you supposed to say? I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Pardon me. That means you're asking forgiveness. And that person says, okay, I forgive you. Then this person is not going to fight. But if that person says, what do you mean forgive? Boom! You purposely kicked me and asking forgiveness. And if that person doesn't ask, give you forgiveness, there is a war, right? So he says, I tell you, you can forgive people. If somebody does something wrong, forgive them. And some people don't forgive them, they keep the grudge. Just think that somebody did something wrong to you and you don't forgive that person. That person doesn't know anything. That person asks forgiveness and you still do not forgive that person. That will keep on bugging you. That will start eating you inside. And you will have more problem and you will have some kind of disease called arthritis or some kind of disease. If you don't forgive people, you will have problem to yourself. I have seen people when they say we have forgiven somebody, the load of burden was lifted up, and I feel good, and I am healed, and I'm feeling better. That's why Jesus said, you people should be forgiving each other. Don't keep grudge. If you keep in grudge, you will have more problems. You should not be keeping grudge and say, or looking for something, I want something bad to happen to this person, and then I'll be happy. We should not be looking for grudge. Jesus Christ says, your enemy hungry? What do? Feed him. Give him water to drink. Give him food to eat. So Jesus Christ was teaching here, you learn to forgive somebody. And God has given you power on this earth to forgive people. And that's what I want to teach you. That's what he said, I forgive that man. Verse 25.
And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God.
Now look at this. This man got up, and not only walked simply, what he started doing? Praising God. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! I'm healed! People, look at me! I was lying on this bed for many years. I'm healed now! I'm praising God and glorifying God. Sometimes you have some kind of shame to tell the testimony. People get healed, but they don't go to church after next week. When you get healed, you better go to church and testify. Tell somebody what God has done. Shout from the mountaintop so the other people can follow you. So he could go slowly, not saying anything, right? But the word of God says he started glorifying God, praising God. When God does something for you, you better do something. When you get a job, instead of going to church, you go to bar. You pray, please pray for me. I'll get a job. I'll give my 10% to the Lord. One person came to me, Pastor Peter, pray for me and I need a job. I said, okay, I took him to the one company. He got a job. And the middle of the week he comes, means the first week, and he says, oh, Pastor Peter, they liked my job. They gave me a raise in my salary. And they give once a month salary. Now he says 15 days already. And he is coming to church 3 weeks and saying, oh, those people have a lot of respect for me, and you recommended, so they liked me so much. I said, okay, praise God. Salary came. The day he got the salary, the day he goes to bar. And that Sunday he didn't come. So I thought maybe he got sick or some problem. Those days I didn't have telephone to call him and say, how are you doing? He comes a Monday morning. I said, why you didn't come Sunday? He said, well, I said, you didn't get a paycheck? You lost your job? He said, yeah, I lost my job. I said, how did you lost your job? Because I went to bar and I didn't go to work. When I showed up there, they said, you're fired. Could you please come and tell this man and say something good about it? I said, sir, you went to the bar. I went to the man and said, you are a good man. Now what am I going to say to that man? And so he lost his job. Point I'm saying, people can say, give me a job and I'll do everything for you. They get the job, they get the money, and they forget the Lord. But this man started glorifying God. So learn to glorify. If you're not thankful for little thing, how can you get a great things? You have to believe for little things. Do you know Elijah? Elijah said to his servant, go and see if there is any cloud. He went 6 times. He said, sir, there is no cloud. He said, go one more time. 7th time, he said, I see a cloud like a palm of my hand. He said, that's enough for me. Let's run. The rain is going to come. And the pouring rain came. So what I'm trying to say, if you see a little blessing coming, you just believe it, the more is coming. Don't say, I'm not happy what God gave me this. I was looking for a better job. Don't worry. There are people who don't have a job. Whatever you have, be thankful. Then you get more. So this man start glorifying God. Okay, let's finish it. Verse 26.
And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him.
Now, somebody reads this, and what is the big deal about this? Here we see the man got healed, people got so excited, praising God and glorifying God. So this man was sitting there and taking the taxes for the government. Jesus Christ comes and says, hey, Levi, follow me. And this man left all the books, left all the money, and followed Christ. Now see, this man, I don't know much about him, but if you read in the book of Luke, it says Levi. If you read in the book of Mark, it says Levi. But read in the book of Matthew chapter 9, verse 9. His name was Levi, but his other name was Matthew. That's the person who wrote the book of Matthew.
And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him.
Now this Matthew or Levi, having a job and having money, those people are not called tax collector, but they call publicans, means sinners. These people are bad people. Like when you say IRS, nobody loves them. That's the kind of person this is. So this person is following Christ. Now he did not just follow the Lord, but he said, Jesus, I'm going to have a feast in my house. He left everything. Plus, he wanted to spend some money on Jesus Christ and having a party. Luke chapter 5, verse 29.
And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink?
Can you imagine these people, all these Pharisees and Sadducees and doctors of law, always trying to find some fault in Jesus Christ? So they are asking, why do you go to this tax collector's house and all these sinners' house and having feast with them? Don't you think those people are sinners? And you going to sinners' house? And many people today also says, Jesus Christ was the friend of sinners. Jesus Christ was not saying, I am a friend of you, so whatever you do, I do. No. He says, I did not come for righteous, but I came for sinners to repentance. Jesus went to sinners and did not become a sinner, but changed those people. That's what it is. He says, sick person needs the doctor. And so the sinners needs the Savior. If you're not sick, I'm not for you. If you're not sinners, I'm not for you, because you're righteous and you are well. So you don't need me. Somebody says you have free oil change. When you go to a free oil change, you say, hey, I'm going to go free oil change. You go to free oil change, you got 10,000 mistakes in your car. One day I went for the inspection. The man says, it will take time. You can come back later. I said, nothing wrong with my car, just the inspection. Okay. I had no problem. When I came, they made the hole to the muffler and say, your muffler, you have to change. And when you start the car, you know when the muffler is bad, your car makes different noise. I said, sir, when I bought the car, I had no muffler problem. But he says, without that, we cannot have inspection. I said, okay, sir, I'm not doing inspection here anyhow. I took my car away. So he even the puncture my muffler, he did not get the money to fix the muffler. The point I'm making, that Jesus Christ said, if the sick needs the doctor, now you're not sick, why are you going to the doctor? So the point I'm making, if you're not sick, don't go to doctor. Since 1956 until today, I did not go to doctor for checkup. Just think, tomorrow I go to checkup, doctor will tell me 10,000 problems. So what I'm trying to say, there is a saying, if your things are not broken, don't fix it. Now here these Sadducees and Pharisees asking the question, he gave him a couple of examples. Now read this example.
And he said unto them, Can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days.
Now here these people are saying another question. Why are your disciples not fasting and praying? The John's disciples, they fast, and Pharisees' disciples, they fast. Why your disciples are now fasting? This is the first time Jesus Christ is saying, if there is a bridegroom, the wedding is happening in the house, can you tell that people come for the party, we have a wedding today, but you fast? Who will go for wedding? To fast? No. See, he said, there is a wedding and bridegroom there, people don't fast, they celebrate. So he's saying, I'm the bridegroom indirectly. So why they should fasting? When the bridegroom is gone, then they will fast. They didn't understand what he was saying. Let's read a little bit further.
And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old, if otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish.
Now, when this example is given, somebody says, what in the world Jesus Christ is talking to these people? He's saying, you people to try to fix the problem, but you are worsening the problem. He says, if you take the old cloth and it's torn in the middle, you take the brand new cloth to fix it here, so it will be bigger hole. Why? Because this strong material is pulling that and destroying it. And so then he gave another example. Take the new wine and put it in the old bottle, the bottle will be burst out. So he was saying, you do not know what you're doing. Pharisees, disciples are praying, they don't know what they're praying for. John's disciples fasting and praying, they don't know what they're doing. John says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. The John's disciples' ministry should be finished. John's ministry should be finished and they should be following Christ. But they are trying to mend something. Instead of doing good things, you are destroying and doing bad things. And so he says, read the verse 39.
No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better.
Now he says, he is not giving an example to drink old wine, but he's just giving an example. If somebody drinking the old wine, he was not looking for new because the old is good. So he's trying to say, you do not have an experience with God. Once you have experience with God, when you are tested the love of God, you will be not asking these dumb questions. Let's read the Psalms 34, verse 8 to 10.
O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
See, here is saying, you test the Lord. He is good. He supplies your needs. He will not let you down, but you are not trusting in God. You are trusting in your wisdom. You're trying to patch something but destroying. You're putting new wine in the old bottle and busting the bottles. You don't know the truth. He is saying you should know the word of God, then you will not doing these things. 1 Peter chapter 2 and 3.
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
He's saying you should be looking for the pure milk, the word of God, and you should be tasting the Lord. Once you know the taste of the word of God, then you are studying the word of God, reading the word of God, and the word of God will give you all the desires of your heart. You will not be lacking anything if you are studying the word and praying and going to church. You will be blessed people. And so he's saying, why are you worried about? Because you do not know the truth and you're trying to mend something, you're destroying the truth.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.